B-Pod Studios.
Time now for the Gargano and Martinez Midday Show with Anthony Gargano and Jason Martinez. It starts.
This is unbelievable.
It's ridiculous.
Oh, my God.
Good morning, everybody. Well, a happy, happy, happy Thursday across the Delaware Valley. And you know, this is the time where it's that waiting for the second half of the baseball and really just caring about football. and we're going to get into that, and we're going to get into the Sixers today. But I got to purge for 2 seconds. Or actually more than that.
This is real life purge?
I got to purge. I feel old, useless. I feel like I just want to just dive into a dark, cold room. I want to go into a cave, like God forbid, I just read a story about this woman that was murdered in Greece and her body was in a cave. Oof. But that was the first thing that came to my mind. I want to be in some cave right now.
Oh, it's cool in a cave, 55 degrees in a cave. That's a good
thing. That's where I want to be.
I want to be away
from this blasphemous society.
I'm going to take you to J4 up at Penn State and go spelunking.
So, what?
That's caving, by the way.
There's such a thing called caving?
Yeah, I've been in it.
You have to
climb like halfway up this little mountain, and then there's a tube, like a big steel tube coming out. You got to pull yourself through the tube, and you go in caving.
What?
And you got to like wedge your body through and stuff, and yeah.
Yeah, I'm out on that.
Maybe I've done a couple times.
I
want to
be Tom Hanks on the island.
Are you going to Castaway?
I'm going to go Castaway.
All right, instead of Wilson, you go Rawlings because you want a football.
I go Duke.
Oh, that's right. The Duke.
Yeah.
The Duke's got the discs.
Yes. It's me and the Duke. All right. On a flipping island. That's where I want to be. Now I know it. It's me and the Duke on an island. I got fire.
Oh, Baldy.
I'm making crabs.
You and Baldy on the island.
I'm eating crabs. All right, and I'm dying of flesh-eating disease.
If you're on an island, you want one person with you. You want Baldy with you. He's going to be like spearfishing.
Yeah, Baldy was like, I'll be on a spit, all right? Because but sooner or later, Baldy's going to want real meat, and the fish won't suffice.
And he's looking at you going, add some meat.
Right. So this is why I feel...
A little rib roast.
Right, yeah. No, I'm out. I'm going to be me and the Duke football alone on this island. And it started this morning when I talked to Andrew.
Okay.
And I love the Tunis. And so, listen, there's a famous book called Ball 4. Jim Boughton is the author. He played baseball. He wrote this expose about the game. Now, this is well before my time.
Yeah.
And well before your time. But it was one of those legacy books that, and he wound up being a TV news guy, sportscaster, and he worked in New York and the whole thing. And when I was in New York, it was like, you had to read it. Like, to prepare to work for the Post and, you had to do your prepared reading.
It's called required reading.
Yeah. For any job that you go, you have to be, prepared and well-read on everything. Anyway, if you're a baseball fan, it's even though it's eons old and it's gray and it's yellowed, it's still one of those things that stands the test of time, right? Anyway, I say to Andrew, now, I don't have expected him to have read it, because, like, I understand, like, it's like ancient history. You're going to read, like, I don't read books. I never really read much, about players before my time either.
Mm-hmm.
And even this guy was
about Mantle in this book. And
this guy's well before my time. But, this was just such an iconic deal. So, but I'm not expecting Andrew to have read it. So I say, dude, Jim Boughton died. Oh, yeah, who's that? I go, did you ever read the book Ball 4? He says, and I quote, I don't read books.
That gets you going right on.
And then I went,
wind him up.
And then I go, huh? I go, what do you mean? He goes, I don't read books. And then he goes to the caveat, well, I'm a millennial. We don't read books.
So he's speaking for all millennials now.
And I just went, like, I understand there's a lot of things that vie for your time. You know, whether it's binge watching movies, vies for my time too. I don't have enough time to read. I wish I could read. I don't read every day in the sense of long form reading, which I love to do. It's like a gift. So I kind of read a little bit on the weekend, sometimes at night, and on vacation. Right? It's one of the reasons why I love airports. I get lost in a book or a long form magazine story, and I travel. Yeah. I love it. But, Andrew, I don't read. You don't read. I don't read books. And I just...
You're not asking if you read The Catcher in the Rye from James Callender. It's all four.
I just felt like I need to escape to a flipping island.
Yeah.
I need to be me and the Duke football and just, you know, wither away.
Have a library of books on this island and you and the Duke can read it.
Like, my skin will be charcoal. Black.
Yeah, you can
so I'm already there.
Yeah.
Right?
Big old beard.
Big gray beard. And that's how I'll die.
Wow.
And I'll be just this little, this puddle in the middle of the South Pacific.
See, how could you be a survivalist?
And I was driven there by, I wouldn't last 3 days. And I was driven there by Andrew Salchunas.
Wow.
And I'm going.
I drove you to your demise?
Yeah, I go, wow, man. The way you said you don't read books, you acted like they were the books of the devil, like books were evil.
The Anton Crowley Book of Satan.
Like, it was unreal how you said it. And then you made me feel like a complete and utter outcast loser. And I go, wow. And I had just watched one of my favorite movies is Midnight in Paris. Right? It's like a... It's Woody Allen movie. It's like a little nothing movie.
Mm-hmm.
Owen Wilson's in it, and he basically is a screenwriter, and he's in Paris with his fiance, and he's dreaming about the 20s in Paris when it was like a literary cultural hub.
Romantic period of Paris's history.
Right. The Paris Review, all the great writers, and... You know, and I have a bit of that in me, too. I have Scott Fitzgerald and Hemingway.
And that's where you go when you read things like that.
Well,
your body there in a lot of ways.
I do. And actually, before I write and do something creative to get in the mood, I've always read Hemingway.
Mm-hmm.
So I've for years.
Good old Ernie,
I've always done it. But Andrew made me, I just felt like, wow. And the character in Owen Wilson is a guy that feels like he was born too late.
Oh, so he was born at the wrong time.
And that he connects with this other period of time. He romanticizes it.
Mm-hmm.
When in reality, you know, that's really not true. But you feel like you do.
Yeah.
And in this story, in the movie, he escapes at, strike of midnight to daybreak. He goes back and experiences life in the 20s. And he falls in love with a woman who... And the kicker is, she suffers from the same calamity, which is she wants to be at the turn of the century.
So she wants to be where he is, and he wants
to
be...
Further
back. That century.
Yes.
Okay. Turn of the 19th century.
Correct.
Okay. All right. I get it.
So anyway, that's the kicker of the story. But the whole idea of living in the past. And I think I'm kind of not really like that. I really am. The only thing that I really kind of cleave to is I love books.
Mm-hmm. The written word.
And I do. And the way Andrew said it, I just wanted to give up.
Well,
I wanted to walk out of here, buy a one-way ticket to Bora Bora and a football and go bleep it.
Yeah, I'll hang here until my time
comes. Get a couple bottles of gin.
Here's
since we talked about it yesterday.
Here's the deal.
There's no ice, though, on the island.
You'll find a way to make it. No, not on that island. You won't. It's not going to be cold enough. But he does not speak for all millennials, so that's him.
I don't know. Maybe he does.
I don't know how much the younger generation reads. You and I are roughly the same age, same experiences.
We are.
And
you and I are exactly contemporaries.
Yeah, and I don't read. Like, I've, you will, one thing you'll never hear me say is the book was better than the movie.
Hello, bro.
Now, one of the reasons why I don't read, my ADD does not allow me to. I can read four pages of a book and go, I have no idea what I just read because I'm thinking about everything.
Well, you have an excuse.
Yeah. Well, I don't know if it's an excuse. Because,
well, you know, whatever. But that, listen, I'm not saying.
I could read.
I'm not saying it's for everybody.
Yeah. Like, my mom was a voracious reader. She still is. She would sit and read. I could walk in and say, the house is on fire, and she wouldn't hear it.
Yeah.
Because she would fall into a book.
Big reader too, yeah.
Right? And I've always watched people read. I go, man, that looks relaxing.
It is.
And I wish that I could. I remember when The Firm came out and I wanted to read it. I tried like several times and I just couldn't do it. The movie came out. I was fine. But to me, it's just always been something that's hard for me to keep my concentration. What are we talking about again? You know what I mean? Like that.
I get it. Listen, yeah. I get it from your standpoint. Like, yeah. I understand, you know, I'm way more ADD than I've ever was. I was never ADD until I had adult ADD.
Yeah, because so many stimulants are around you.
I get it. I feel the same way. It's time, we talk about baseball all the time. Like, I feel like I need to be doing something.
Yeah.
I can't just watch a ball game. Like, so I get it. Like, I'm not, you know, but I do still like to read.
Yeah.
So when Andrew said that, I just felt like checking out.
Yeah. And it's a shame because I think there's so many things I've missed out on in the written word that weren't made into movies, books. Like, I love hockey. So many, probably so many great hockey books and stories.
Yeah, I mean, listen, it is what it is. Like, it's not for everybody. Like, I understand that.
Yeah.
I understand it. But when he said that, like, a whole generation of people don't read, like, I'll take him at his word. Chunas.
You read the paper, right? Do you read the newspaper?
Yeah, he says he reads the paper.
Okay. Yes, I do like the newspaper. By the way, you're or not.
And I mean,
on a website.
Listen, there's some.
Phone. No, the actual
there's
paper.
There's some good people, and there's some people I like to read. But unfortunately, you know, that's not even close to what it used to be.
The art
form.
Yeah.
That's not even, you know. You know, basically, you watch your newspaper now. You know,
in a blur.
It is. Yeah, I mean. Yeah. To Twitter, it's characters. I mean, it's not reading.
Yeah, I said to you, I'm used to reading 280 characters.
That's what you said. Yeah,
not a book.
And you said that it's all. You speak for your generation.
Sure.
No, you told me that.
Yeah, I said millennials don't read.
That's what you said.
Yes.
That was your excuse.
The majority of millennials don't read.
You went. Remember when I go, well, why? And you went. As an excuse,
I'm a millennial.
Hmm.
So you're speaking for the whole generation. You spoke for the whole generation.
How about the nuts on him to speak for a generation?
No, but listen, let him do it. Listen, that's fine. I need somebody to drop me off of Duke football, and I'm going to go.
That one-way ticket?
Yeah, I'm going to crowdsource it.
Okay. I want to put you in a car a container on a cargo ship.
Because I might as well go out. In that way.
Yeah.
I leave everything else for my kids.
Come out
and my
peace.
Family. And I'll just go and like die on the island.
Well, I hope you got more than 3 days. Can we give you rations?
No, pack of matches.
Yeah, flint.
And at this point, what does it matter? I might as well just go get a pack of American Spirits too.
Yeah. Oh, man. Well, it's going to be a potpourri kind of day. Because last night was the night that nothing happened.
But this is bad.
Yeah, he puts you in a bad way right out of shoot.
I'm in a bad way.
Yeah. Well, a couple things.
It's a personal crisis. So I'm going to ask people, you know, if you're under the age of 30, if you still read.
The last two things I read that I can comprehend was the Sam Hinkie Manifesto.
I actually loved it. It was well written.
And the other one was the story that they wrote on The Ringer about Brian Colangelo. Those are the last two things I remember reading and comprehending. Wow. I had to read The Ringer story about four times, too, just to remember everything. 610-632-0975. We got to get into James Ennis' comments about the Sixers.
Yeah, I got things to say about that.
Oh, we got a little sour puss in your. You got a bitter beer face. Yeah. You got a keystone on the way in?
No. Well, I had Andrew. Chunas just ruined my life. Not just my day.
Your life.
The rest of my life.
Wow.
The rest of my life. Like, I have to now rethink what I'm going to do from here on out.
Yeah. It could affect your parenting.
I'd be better off not in their life.
610-632-0975.
They'd be better off.
That'd be the number to get in here on the Midday Show. Anthony Gargano, Jason Martinez, 97.5 The Fanatic. I tell you about the Rothenberg Law Firm. Now a sports radio host, as sports fans. We talk a lot about our great Philly teams. We even read about them on occasion. And our players and their stats. And every sports fan knows how important stats are to measure success and figure out what's working well. Well, when I saw the stats at the Rothenberg Law Firm, I was blown away. Sure, I've known that Allen and his firm, yeah, they've been winning here in Philly for years. But it's even bigger than that. Listen to these stats. Did you know that they've been winning for injured people for nearly 50 years? Did you know that they've helped thousands and thousands of people with all kinds of injury cases? And did you know that they've won billions of dollars for injured people? Billions with a B. You don't have to be a manager of a team to know that these guys are winners. The stats say it all. So if you're injured and you want to win, call the Rothenberg Law Firm. I know this to be true. They're not going to stop until they win for you. So here's the number. 1-800-624-8888. That's 1-800-624-8888. Or you can visit their website, injurylawyer.com. Again, that's injurylawyer.com.
Gargano and Martinez Middays.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
97.5 The Fanatic.
10 a.m. hour brought to you by Window Nation. Take advantage of Window Nation's 50% off sale on all styles of windows. Plus, make no down payment with no payments and no interest for 12 full months. Call 866-90-NATION or visit windownation.com.
10:22. Freaking chewing. Stop. Don't even look at me. Don't even.
He was apologetic, at least.
I came in there, gave him a hug.
That's like after you shot me, you see, you hugged me and said you didn't mean to shoot me. I love you too. Unfortunately, you just crushed my spirit. By the way, to James Ennis. All right, so he comes out and he says, "We're going to walk to the finals." And I go, on the surface, I like it. But he shouldn't be saying it. And I worry about the jinx factor.
All right, so let me give you full context, all right?
So now I'm already freaked out because at least when I'm on the freaking island, I want to find out that the Sixers won the title and I can have my last parade.
You're going to have the parade with the Duke? You and the Duke are going to break the Bora Bora?
Play the song, Duke. Play the song, Duke.
The Duke's going, what is this song? Where's the Sunday Night Football music?
We're NBA champs, Duke. We cashed that parlay, Duke.
A two-hand champ.
Send it to Aunt Moss.
Get excited. All right, let me give you full context of the quote. Because obviously he was asked about re-signing with the Sixers and why. And he said, because it's a good team and a good chance of winning. The East is going to be wide open. We had a good chance last year. Kawhi is gone. He went to the West. So we are going to walk to the finals in the East. That's the James Ennis quote. So you don't like it?
I don't. Not from him.
Okay, if Tobias says it.
Yes.
He wouldn't say it. That's not Tobias'
nature.
No, it's not.
Embiid, yes.
That's
Ben,
a Jimmy
yes.
kind of quote. Jimmy Butler kind of quote.
I got no problem. Jimmy was on this team and he said it.
Yeah.
But I don't like the fact that James Ennis said it because James Ennis can't control it.
Okay. He can be a all small right? factor, but he's not in control.
Listen, he played well in the playoffs. I got nothing against James Ennis, mm-hmm. but he shouldn't be speaking.
It's like when Jimmy Rollins said they're the team to beat. He was the guy to say it.
Correct. I like that.
All right. Not Eric Bruntlett. Yeah, exactly.
See, here's the thing. You're James Ennis. Now, all you can really do is jinx us.
You believe in the jinx?
Dude, listen, I don't know what to believe in anymore. All right?
Andrew all doesn't I read. Know is, Our all, pets' heads are falling off.
All I know is that I don't discount it totally. All right? I may not believe in it, But in case it does exist, I ain't bleeping with it.
All right.
So I don't need James Ennis to jinx my squad.
I don't love when players do this, no matter who they are. I think he could have said something just slightly different. Instead of saying, you know, I came back because we're going to be a good team twice in the West, I'm fine with all that. I think he should have said, hey, we're a team. It's NBA Finals or bust, or, you know, we're going to be the team to beat in the East, but not we're going to walk to the finals in the East.
Like, if I'm in Milwaukee and I'm the Greek freak, I go, excuse me? Who are you again?
Considering the source.
And I would want to, I'd make it a thing. I got news for you. I would make it a thing. I'm in Boston. I'd make it a thing. Oh, yeah?
Walk this.
You're going to walk to the finals? So that was an unnecessary statement from a bench dude. Actually, I hate it even more because he also showed fear by saying, oh, Kawhi's in the other conference. Well, you still got to play Kawhi in the finals if you get there.
Yeah.
What, you're afraid now, Kawhi? Nah, you know what? That whole quote, flush it.
Wow. Walk this way? That's what they should be saying in Boston. Arismus from Boston.
That is terrible. It's a terrible thing to say. And the more I talk about, the angrier I get that it's going to jinx us.
I love the confidence from James Ennis.
You would. You're dumb. You don't read.
You can't even read.
I think he went a little further, but it doesn't bother me because here's the fact of the matter. It's July, and by the time the NBA season starts, that thing's going to be in a
place. I would make sure that thing lives
forever. Shirts in Boston?
Exactly. If I'm in Milwaukee or Boston, without a doubt, I'd make shirts of that.
Hashtag walk this.
I'd have fear the deer on the front and his quote on the back. You kidding me? You're going to let that dude, if it's Joel Embiid, that's one thing. Because you know why? He bats it up.
See, now this I can get behind. Walk. Right there.
He's not like this.
And they're singing this going, respect.
I mean, seriously.
You talking to me?
Seriously, you guys, how could you be okay with a piker like James Ennis saying that?
I just think he went too far. I don't think it's going to jinx the team or anything like that. I don't believe
that's
in that.
That's terrible.
Yeah.
It's terrible for him to say that. Terrible.
And now that you pointed out, I didn't even think of this. The fact that Kawhi is gone is something
I hate
that
the whole quote.
I don't like that
I hate
part.
The whole quote. In fact, I cut his ass. I don't even want him on my team anymore.
You need him.
Oh, man. Bleep James Ennis.
You need James Ennis on that wall.
James Ennis. All of a sudden, James Ennis is talking for Joel Embiid and Tobias Harris and Al Horford and Ben Simmons. I don't need it.
What if James Ennis comes up with a big block in the conference final to secure the Game 7 Ennis. Victory?
James Ennis speaks for the Sixers and I speak for the Millennials, damn it.
Yeah.
So that's why I hate you both.
610-632-0975. I was going to ask you what you thought of the James Ennis quote, but I think we just found out.
How could anyone like it? I don't understand how you can like it.
I guarantee people will like it.
It's not a guy that can... I love bravado, but it's got to be a guy that can actually make it happen.
An impact player.
He can't make it happen.
It could be a mindset. Maybe he's a guy that...
Get the hell out of here, a mindset. He can't make it happen. All he does is anger everybody else and speak. That's the old saying... But write a cash, your butt can't cash. You're writing a check, your butt can't cash.
Yeah, and bulletin board material, right?
Well, it is. This is not just, like, I would make it a rallying cry if I were in Milwaukee or Boston. Mm-hmm. I would. He's got to take it back.
He's got to walk it back?
He's got to take it back.
Guys are walking around naked.
Or Joel Embiid's got to say it. They have to get together, and Embiid's got to go, listen, I'll speak for Ennis. We're walking to the finals. Then I get excited.
Then you go, all right, he's going to give me 30 and 13 every night.
Right.
You can say it.
Right. Come on. Everybody can't just say things. You got to have a certain stature in life. That's the whole point.
He lacks the cachet.
Your stature.
Hmm. So he overstepped.
He didn't overstep. He overleapt.
Okay. All right. Well, we'll find out where the people kind of are on this regards. You point out a good point. The Kawhi is gone caveat I don't like. Because that's like, hey, they're weak. They got weakened because they lost the player. So now we can go.
Oh, man.
I would rather him have said, I wish Kawhi would have stayed in Toronto so we can avenge the loss from last year and walk to the finals. I would have preferred that.
James Ennis should not be talking about walking anywhere. You're a cog. Go play your little role. You know, go play your 12, 15 minutes a game. Give me some good D. Hit a three. And then call it a day.
Watch the game from the best seat in the house.
I mean, come on, man. I mean, seriously.
All right, let's see what the people think.
You know, is that Messier?
The guarantee?
Like, Messier. Like,
call the shot.
Who could say that? Mark Messier could say that.
Mm-hmm. Not James Ennis.
Walk to the final. That's so disrespectful coming from him.
All right, 610-632-0975. See if the people agree with you, Dave. You got a burr.
I don't care. I'm leaving anyway.
You got a burr in your saddle.
Yeah, thanks to Andrew, our producer.
Started you off on the wrong foot.
Where's
right
the
away.
Duke? The one thing you got to do, Chunas, is you got to at least go buy me my companion for the rest of my life.
Yeah, get him a Duke so he can smash the blinds in here with it.
Don't want a Wilson volleyball?
No.
Castaway?
I want the Duke. I like the Duke.
And you know how the volleyball had like the blood
and
face
I can
on
always,
it? It's going to be your blood on the Duke.
I can die with the Duke. Me and the Duke. Nice and, toasty. Laying on the beach.
I'm going to go to the island with
Park's
a puck.
Park's mouth.
I'll go to the island. My island will be, first of all, it'll be Iceland. And I'll go with a puck. That's where I'll go. You're going to Bora Bora. I'll go to Iceland.
Right.
Oh, man.
You're going to be sitting with penguins.
Yeah.
You're going to be in the Antarctic.
I'll be sliding down the glacier into the water.
Yeah.
By the way, I got to talk to you a little bit later. I got to show you a video of a 30-foot great white in on the East Coast.
Don't tell me that. I'm going fishing Sunday morning.
Oh, you got a chum. You gotta bring this great white in.
What am I, Hooper?
Yeah. Hooper! Yeah, you gotta get in the cage.
Yeah.
I can see you going, the great white spins out the cage. Hey, what's going on, great white? What do you say, great white?
You're looking good, man.
You're looking good. Yeah, you're in that cage. I can just see it now. The great white spins by.
Man, you're looking good, man. What's your problem?
Let's get to the phones. Let's go to John in the Northeast on the Fanatic. What's up, John?
Hey guys, how you doing?
Hey John,
it's a brutal couple of days here with nothing to watch.
It sucks.
So, it's awful. I don't know what to do tonight. Like you know, but it's cool you're talking about
reading.
Yeah, exactly. I might, you know, but it's cool you're talking about that, Nance. I've always been a fan of yours because I know you have that literature background, and it's something I'm really passionate about. I actually have like three old typewriters. One's like a 1968 Olivetti Latera from Italy.
Wow, that's awesome.
And I'm 30.
Not your Latera.
Like, I'm right on the border of like I'm almost a millennial, huh? You know. But I put a book out of poetry and I gave it to my brother who's like 20 years old. And if you want to ever feel like you live on an island, give a book of poems to a 20-year-old in 2019. He looked at me like I had four heads, and it's just. It makes me
good for you. Listen, forget about your brother and Aunt Chuck Chunas and these guys. Forget about it. It's something inside you that you need to write. Artists need to create. Whether you're a painter, whether you sketch, that's what artists need to do. So you get it out, purge your soul.
Yeah, and if you could put me on hold after this, I'd love to send you a copy.
Please, but, you know what? I would love to read it. I'd be honored.
Cool, man. Yeah, but it makes me sad, and it makes, you know, you question yourself, like, am I the old man now or what? But
I don't feel that way. I don't feel old, but I feel old.
But writing is like, it's not the death of writing, it's like the death of romance, you know?
Everything,
like, even when people that don't write or read, when they think about, like, the game the other night, like, it gets more romantic within time, you know, the memories of it. And what writing is. Like,
that's right.
When you write it on paper, it's the romantic version of what actually happened, you know? And it makes me sad that, you know, younger kids might never get to see that. And Jason, I got a problem with the ADD thing, too. Like, I've read forever, but, like, with the phone in my hand all day, like, I'll go five pages, and I'll be like, what the hell did I just read?
Yeah. You know,
like,
it sucks.
Awful, you know?
It sucks. Yeah.
Yeah. But Jason, check out, if you ever want to read a great hockey book, Mark Howe's book, Gordie Howe's, it's called Gordie Howe's Son.
Yeah.
Oh, that's cool.
I promoted it with Mark Howe. And I have a signed copy of it, and I haven't cracked it.
That's such a violation. Yeah. You couldn't read it more. Mark Howe!
Yeah.
He
lived his career, you know. I remember watching him play.
Me too.
Yeah.
But there's such a great, rich, like we talk about Merrill Reese and Harry Callis. Like, there's also such a great, rich history of writers in this town. Like, I've got three Bill Lyon books on my shelf.
Oh,
like,
that guy,
the way he wrote was just so
it was amazing.
And
yeah.
Beautiful, man.
Nah, awesome. There's some great Rich Hoffman, terrific. And there was a...
Stan Hockman.
Oh, Stanley.
Yeah.
Love Stan.
Morning.
But there was great writers. There was incredible... There was a guy who went on to be this prolific TV and film writer as well that wrote here, John Shulian.
John Shulian, who did he write for? Was Daily he a newspaper News, Daily News writer?
And there, of course, my literary idol, who I'm very dear friends with, is Gary Smith, who wrote for the Daily News before going to Sports Illustrated.
Yeah,
I mean, he's writing books and screenplays and all
that.
Yeah,
you would think like I would be able to maintain concentration on a story like the Mark Howe one. I mean, it hits you on so many levels. From his dad, maybe Mr. Hockey, and the whole thing,
exactly.
Right? Played with his brother and his dad in a game, you know, all of that stuff. And for some reason, I just still have a hard time maintaining attention with it. I mean, my favorite poet's Andrew Dice Clay. You know what I mean?
Come on, man.
Hickory Dickory.
Come on, man. No, come on.
He was in A Star Is Born. Did you see A Star Is Born yet? The movie?
No.
It's a good movie. He played a nice role.
I'm out.
He was Gaga's dad.
I won't see it.
What?
No.
Oh, man.
I won't say I'm not interested in the story. Like, I know the story.
Yeah. It's been redone
a few times. It got, like, too much...
acclaim?
Yeah. Like, so I know the whole plot.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't really need to see it.
Yeah. Let's go to Jake in Robbinsville joins us on The Fanatic. What's up, Jake?
Hey, how you doing, Ann? How you doing, cuz?
What's up, Jake?
How you doing, Jason?
Great.
I just wanted to bring up a point that I actually brought up yesterday when I was on the radio. I was on with Devon and Joe. And it was something about how I think we should trade Ben Simmons for Russell Westbrook. I just wanted to get your guys' thoughts.
It's idiotic.
Yeah, nah, Jakey, I'm out.
I have a question for
you
guys.
We've talked a lot about that.
Who had more assists per game last season?
It doesn't matter. You can quote all the stats you want. You got to watch the game and understand that he's a ball dominant type of player.
I understand, but doesn't
well, obviously you don't because you're still arguing the point. There's a reason why that people don't want. You're listening to the radio.
Yeah.
There's a reason why people don't want Russell Westbrook. He's over 30 now. When you're 30 years old in this league, you're a ball dominant player. You're difficult to build around. AI was difficult to build around. He had little trade value. Like, I'll tell you a story. They were looking to trade AI after the 02 season. And before that, at one point, but they were trying series after the 02 season.
Billy was prohibited from doing it, right?
Right, because of...
The return.
No return, no butts in the seats.
Yep.
Right? You got to, like, understand this sport. Now, you can't look at stats and all that BS, because that's what it is. They're not doing it. We've talked about it incessantly. It's not an original thought. I know you think you had an original thought, Jake. It's not. Not happening. It's the wrong move.
They ain't doing it anyway. I mean, there's no consideration.
It's not happening.
Yeah, it's a non-starter.
Yeah.
Bruce Gordon tweets into the program, and he says, when I heard the James Ennis comments, I wanted to be excited, but he goes, all I could think about, though, was Vince Young's dream team comment.
Yeah, Stiffs.
Wrong guy to say it, right? It was the wrong guy to say it, just like the dream team thing. He was, what, the second or third QB on that team? Vince Young, when he was signed as an Eagle, and that was the Asamoah offseason.
Right.
He makes that statement, and that team just kerplunk, nosedove, nothing. It was great on paper, but it didn't mean anything because they couldn't. Right. And then you make that comment, and we all got lathered up about it. People got lathered up when Jimmy said it, but he was the right guy to say it, Jimmy Rollins, because he was the right guy to say it, and he went out and they backed it up. And they won the division that year. It was 07, going into 07 when he said that, right? I remember at the time going, I don't know if I say that now. I'd say that after winning it 1 year.
You don't say that. That's why you don't say stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
Unless.
Comes with a bullseye.
Unless, listen, if you're the starting quarterback or the big offensive force, whatever, the all-star player, then to me you have carte blanche. Say whatever you want.
Yeah.
Say whatever you want. You just can't be a bench guy saying it.
And that's where the problem is within us. He's not a guy that can push that over the goal line because he doesn't have a big enough role to do
so. No, all he can do is jinx it, Charlie.
610-632-0975. That is the number to get in. It is a kind of a potpourri day here on the Midday Show. Anthony Gargano, Jason Martinez, right here at 97.5 The Fanatic.
Gargano and Martinez Middays.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
Hello. What?
Look at that shark.
Oh my God. So you showed me the footage of that 30-foot great white off the coast of Martha's Vineyard.
Yeah.
My Lord. That thing is a killing machine.
Yeah, it is enormous.
I mean, that's frightening.
Now that's a shock.
It's come here.
Say it on the microphone. What's the matter with you?
What's wrong with you? How long have you been on radio?
Jeez.
So what is it?
It's a basking shark.
That's a great white, dude.
No, it's a basking shark.
Oh, okay. And then what is a basking shark?
They're the ones.
It's a really big great white.
They're a peaceful size great white.
Oh, that thing's peaceful?
Well, they have like the large mouths that'll scoop up. Like Pinocchio probably went in a basking shark, or something like that.
Right.
It's more like whalish than a shark.
Okay, so it's not going to rip apart the bone.
That's not a great white.
I'm pretty sure. If you read the comments, a lot of people are like, "No, this is a basking shark." You can tell by
there's
skills.
A lot of great whites around Martha's Vineyard.
Oh yeah,
because there's
literally a movie based on it.
Yeah, but there's no. But that's that one's all right.
From the research, like, I did.
That thing is like it's
enormous.
Yeah, it's like a Russian shark.
Did you see they cleared the beaches in Ocean City yesterday?
No.
Sharks in the surf. They cleared a bunch of beaches right in Ocean City.
Now, how do you see these in drones and stuff like that?
No, the lifeguard, I guess. But the lifeguards called everyone off the beach.
The spotters?
Yeah, it was on the news this morning. I was watching.
It's a troll of bluefish.
Wait
Chief.
A second. Really?
Yeah, they're coming more and more to the Jersey Shore. I'm getting scarier and scarier.
So Sunday.
I got the Sharktivity app, dude.
Oh my God, you gotta be kidding me.
Look at it. There's the Jersey Shore. Look at that. See all those sightings? They got them named. These are the ones that are tagged. Amy pinged.
Oh, my God.
Great white Amy.
So I'm going Sunday morning. So I got a buddy of mine who's got a house in Brigantine, Tooch.
Nice, yeah. Brigantine's awesome.
Right? So we're going to... My kids have been after me to take them fishing.
Oh, nice.
All right. You got to bring in that megalodon.
So, me. What do I know about fishing, right? What do I know about the outdoors?
You know where the cooler is
right,
on the boat.
You know,
could you bait a hook, though?
No.
Okay. Bait a hook.
Seriously. What am I going to do? I went tarpon fishing with Pat Croce years ago.
Oh, yeah.
In Florida.
Uh-huh.
Right?
They're right there off the docks in Key West.
Right. Like, so there were you all. It was a whole group of people. We all went. And I, sat on the boat, drank a couple beers, grabbed some rakes. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So, but this is, going to be, a real trip. Like, the kids are, fired up.
Oh, that's
going
to be fun.
So, we're going with Captain Bruno.
Nice. Oh.
Captain Bruno.
Sounds like a
San Martino?
In Brigantine.
Wow.
At the, it's the Fish Finder.
That's the boat?
The Fish Finder 3.
Well, that boat better deliver with a name like that.
How far are you going out? Do you know?
I have no idea.
You're like 7 miles out to the Avalon Shoals.
We got to be there 7:30 Sunday morning.
Oh, that's going to be fun. You're right. First cocktail at 7:35.
Yeah, well. Mimosas. The kids are fired up. Like, the boys are like all excited. So I'm like excited.
Because they're excited.
Yeah, like I'm into it. I can't wait to hang with them.
Yeah.
And like,
see it through their eyes.
Yeah. Tooch is going to go. Like, we're all excited. Like, we're going to stay at his house Saturday night, guys' night. And then go fish.
Have the boys smoking cigars, playing poker, and drinking beers. Yeah, on the ride out. Yeah. And Moss, here's a cigar. Come here.
So, but wait, there are all these sharks out there.
Yeah.
I'm gonna feel like.
Oh, you're fine in the boat.
Yeah, that's what Hooper said.
Yeah.
Hooper. Jaws both bit the boat in half.
Yeah.
Really?
Brody's floating in on a bobber.
Yeah, I know.
Him and Hooper are kicking their way in. Quick got chopped in half. Yeah, I'm never swimming in Martha's
for
Vineyard.
Five. I'll give you the whole damn thing for
get another
ten.
Barrel ready, Chief.
Yeah, I'm good up in Martha's Vineyard. I would never enter the water up there.
I was just up there. We
Did
went
you
up
swimming.
Kidding me? I saw the sign.
Yeah,
the Great White sign.
I'm out.
It was too cold when
what
I was.
Mean
up.
There's a sign.
There's signs on the beach. That guy got chopped in half a couple years ago up there.
Yeah, nasty.
On
up
Cape
there.
Cod, right off Cape Cod, and Martha's Vineyard's where Jaws was shot.
Right.
So we come in the ferry to go to Martha's Vineyard for the day. Me and the wife and the girl, the whole family, right? And we go to the little rental car spot inside the dock in the little hut. There's all these like clippings about Jaws, old newspaper clippings.
That's cool.
I go, what's this all about? He goes, Jaws was shot here. That dock you just came in on is where they opened up the big fish on the thing. And the robot was.
I love that. The mayor gets on?
Yeah. That was the dock. Yeah. That's the dock.
It's July 4th. It's a beautiful day.
Yeah. Another thing to hate about Boston. Sharks will kill you.
Yeah, right?
Yeah, I'm out on Martha's Vineyard now.
Yeah.
There's a lot of great white activity up there.
I never knew that.
Yeah, no thanks.
Yeah.
And Long Island now, too, like in the Hamptons and in the Sag Harbor there.
Oh, really? Kevin Durant's going to get eaten by sharks.
I'm out.
KD's going to be eaten by sharks.
The older I get, the more out on the ocean I'm becoming. I used to love it. Like, you couldn't pull me out of the ocean when I was
here's
young.
The problem is, now with the technology of the camera drones,
yeah,
like, they're showing all these
pictures of
sharks right next to people.
Last week
you never
in Florida,
know.
There's people in, like, honestly, like, ankle-high water.
Yeah.
And there's a helicopter footage from above. Sharks are, like, swimming up to their legs and, like,
you have
circling.
No idea.
And,
yeah, you thought that was a horseshoe crab.
Yeah.
That's a great white.
Yeah. And there's, like, these little sharks.
Yeah, but they can't be where they're little.
If you're
in ankle-high water.
Dude, I'm afraid of a spider. Yeah. The spider's tiny.
Yeah, I don't care. I'm out.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, you know.
They're swimming up to your ankles, just checking you out. I'm good.
Yeah, we're not doing anything.
And like you go, the basking shark's friendly. That thing's obviously not that friendly. It's eating a lot. If it's 5,000 pounds, it ain't that friendly.
Yeah, that thing was massive, though.
Oh, my
God. You like this, Ennis? Saying this?
Yeah, I'm cool with it. Put your chest out. Say it with your chest, James.
Listen, if Ennis...
He believes it.
Yeah, but he's not...
He's got some big bullies
control.
Behind him that'll back him up. He's
that's
like,
the point.
He's like the bagel boss guy, except he's got an army of 7-footers behind him.
Yeah, but that's the point. Like, he's not the guy. You don't say that.
Yeah. Well, he's Vince Young more than Jimmy Rollins?
Jimmy Rollins? He's not Henry Rollins. He's not.
Liar.
Nuts.
They need some swagger, man. Somebody had to come out and say something.
No, not him.
I'm cool with it.
How could you be cool with it?
He said they're going to go to the Eastern Conference Finals. What's the big deal? They should. That's the expectation.
No, he said they're going to walk to the finals.
No, to the East Finals.
Well, that's not the way I read the quote.
It's to the East Finals.
He said we're going to walk to the finals.
Should they not?
He said, so we're going to walk to the finals in the East. Okay.
It's the East Finals. He's saying Eastern Conference Championship.
It doesn't matter.
Is the expectation they should be there?
Yeah, they should be there. But he's not supposed to say it.
But Joel's not going to say it. Ben's not going to say it.
Well, they should. They're the ones.
Horford's new here. He's not going to say it.
Well, then don't say it. Then nobody says it.
I like it. Put the swagger out there.
I hate it.
Put your balls on the table.
But not if you're the guy that's got no balls.
He's playing. He'll have a role.
Come on. He plays 12 minutes a game.
Yeah, but we don't have the guys that are going to say that. We don't have a Jimmy Rollins on the Sixers.
It. Then it's fine. Then nobody says it. It's all right. I'll live without it.
If they come
don't
up short,
jinx it.
It's not James Ennis'
fault.
Yes, it
is. I will blame that and the flesh-eating disease on James Ennis.
Zaire's peanut allergy next?
Yes! I blame everything on that dude.
I don't like that he said Kawhi is gone. He went to it. So he kind of was like, I'd rather him said, I don't care if Kawhi stayed or not. We're going to the finals. I would have liked that better.
But I like it, man. Putting some swagger in this team. Let's go.
Yeah, Embiid talks a ton of smack, so he could say something that. I mean, he's the most all that stuff.
He's hashtagging Zaddy out in the Maldives.
What is that?
Did you see his pictures he put up?
No.
He put up like these shirtless, like he was doing like faux modeling shots, and his caption was
he like Costanza?
But on
the couch?
Did you see him?
No.
My man looks cut.
So you can shred it already?
The baby fat is gone. He looks like he's taking this. The Embiid is unlocked.
I love the Embiid.
The Embiid is unlocked. The sayings you come up with, I'll tell you.
I love the
Check out the pictures. No,
the bro's a linguist.
Yeah. He looks like he's taking this seriously.
You're great
at
examining the body.
What is this, on Instagram?
Yeah,
I'm not on the gram.
Yeah. The only thing he messed up was not geotagging like Chick-fil-A South Philly. Like Pat Egan said, that would have been pretty good.
Geotag. What's geo? Oh,
your location.
All right.
He put the Maldives up.
I don't know. I got to mute Egan because he talks in GIFs. I don't understand it. GIFs and emojis. I don't speak it. I need to get the thing that teaches you how to speak a language?
How great was that the other day, a couple of weeks ago? We were all sitting out there with the emoji talk. You remember?
Yeah.
Because they didn't know what the eggplant was.
Yeah. And now I'm getting getting them tweeted to me nonstop.
So Jason and Coach
like a picture of Giroux with an emoji of an eggplant.
They were looking at each other.
Yeah.
And they go, the whole anti-emoji thing going on.
I thought it was a purple pepper too, by the way.
I felt like a purple pepper. Next to those dudes, I was like a 13-year-old girl.
I love it.
Yeah.
All right. Good talk. See you guys out there.
All right, man. Enjoy.
Go ahead. Go shine Ennis's shoes.
Get your shine box.
By the way, that shark in Ocean City, 7th Street. That's right in the middle of the boardwalk.
Oh, my 7th God. Street?
Yes.
Shark in the water? 7th Street.
Right, because
this is an issue.
Where all the stores start, it goes from 1st Street to 14th, right? Or no, it's like 3rd Street. That's where that one amusement park is. So 7th Street.
Wonderland Pier.
Yeah. Right in the middle.
Oh, my goodness.
Oh, my God. My buddy, too, just sent you a text board.
Uh-oh.
You go in a cage. Cage goes in the water. Shark's in the water. Our shark.
Oh, my goodness.
That's crazy.
They got to tag one of these great whites and tag it Baldy. Baldy the great white shark. Right?
Oh, Baldy. Holy moly. So, my buddy Marco is in the Poconos right now.
Oh, yeah?
I implore you to come right here. Come here.
All right.
He just sent me this picture.
Oh, my God.
He just sent me this picture.
Crossing the road?
Of a giant black bear crossing the highway.
Oh, man.
Oh, my God.
He's huge.
That's unbelievable.
All right, now as my son calls it, the Pinocchios are out.
Holy look at that thing. He's gorgeous, that thing.
I'm considering going
That's
to the moon to live.
Black, gigantic bear with his mouth open.
You're looking for something to eat.
Wow. Strolling in the Poconos.
I'm considering going to the moon to live. I'm ready to become a satellite. Go to a satellite.
Yeah, but then you have to deal with aliens out there.
Yeah, that's all. I can deal with the alien. From the documentary.
You are an alien.
From the documentary I just watched, they're only like 3.5 feet tall. I'd be the center on the NBA team of the all-alien squad. 5'7". Yeah, they're like 3.5 feet, dude. I'd be tapped like Embiid. You know what I mean? I'd be born.
And there he is, Martitas.
Yeah. A two-hand jam on the 6-foot-high basket.
Excited! A two-hand jam.
6-1.
We'll be playing this song for you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh man. SWAT. 610-632-0975. You're listening to 97.5 The Fanatic. WPEM Burlington, Philadelphia. We're a Beasley Media Group station. We broadcast from the Xfinity Studios, only from Comcast.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.